I know the Lord is worth spending time with him, and so I'm not regretting the time that we spent together, but I think he wants to also talk to us about a subject today. You know, we always hear other Christians say that God is good, that he's our friend, that he is love. And yet, you know, if you have opened your Bible quite regular, you will find out that all over the Bible there's this statement that says that we're supposed to fear God. And, you know, sometimes the way it comes out, we wonder how God has chosen to relate himself to us. I got a few examples of scripture on the fear of the Lord. And this thing just refuses to work. You know, it gives me a good feeling, and then he decides to have a mind of his own. Ah! He's got a delayed action. Maybe the battery is low. Ah. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name." You know, he's not giving us a recommendation. Well, at that time, he's not recommending. He's just stating a fact. You will. A command. A commission. Another scripture. Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Again, you know, it almost sounds contradictory. You know, I can see serve the Lord and rejoice, but then with fear kind of puts a kink into it, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor our people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. You know, we can see the other three aspects. Honor people, love the brotherhood, honor the king. Then fear God. Just Revelation 19:5. Even heaven speaks. And he says, "Then a voice came from the throne of heaven saying, 'Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great.'" I've said here before you in the past that to fear God is to revere, to respect God, to be in awe, to be in wonder about God. Amen. If that's so, then why doesn't the Bible simply use those words? Revere, respect God, rather than fear him. Fear may sound like troubling for many people, including me. And sometimes we think that it's not a perfect translation. And yet, we have found out that it is a very close one. We have verses like this one. In Psalm 130, verse 4, it says, "But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." You know, just reading that verse, if you're really cautiously reading and looking at what it says, you may think it sounds wrong. You think maybe it needs to say there is forgiveness with you that you may be loved. You know, that makes sense. Or maybe there is judgment with you that you may be feared. But that's not what it says, does it? You know, we out here in this Western culture, we tend to view fear as bad, especially when used to manipulate others into submission. We have seen that happening. But this biblical concept of fear has a much deeper and wider connotation. It involves more than just the negative perception that we may have about fear. Those first four verses that we saw even though it mentioned a concept of fear, that fear was connected with our obedience. And that was interesting. We have here Psalms 130 verse 4. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And then verse 5, following it, as the psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. So that doesn't sound like our normal understanding of what fear is all about. So it may be something quite slightly different. Let's put it this way. This psalmist does not sound afraid of the Lord. In fact, it sounds quite the opposite, doesn't it? Well, he doesn't stop there. Verse 7, he says, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Well, that doesn't sound like a fearful person that is fearing about the Lord. So this fear of the Lord that the scripture commends is actually the opposite of being afraid of God. If you remember, I've mentioned it a few times before. In Exodus 20, you remember the children of Israel were 400 years in bondage to Egypt. And God chose Moses, got the people out of Egypt, got him into the desert. And then after a few months, they finally got to Mount Sinai. And God told Moses, just gather the people around the mount. I want to speak to them. And so there was, you know, the people gathered and there were some regulations about not getting too close to the mountain, this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, they hear trumpets from heaven, the sound of lightning and thunder and even smoke all over the mountain. And apparently God started speaking. And the people just were very, very afraid. They went to Moses. And they said, you speak to us and we will listen to you. But don't let God speak to us because we're all going to die. They were fearful. They were caught in fear. What does Moses tell him? This is what Moses says in verse 20 of chapter 20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. Interesting. But notice what Moses is saying here. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Does that make sense? No. Do not fear, so that you may fear. His fear, not our fear, okay? Quite a difference there. This is certainly a contrast between being afraid of God and fearing God. Those are two separate things, and we tend to confuse them. Those who have the fear of the Lord will never be afraid of him. Solomon, the wisest man on earth after Jesus, considered fearing God as the most meaningful thing we could do with our life. The most meaningful thing that we could do with our life. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, after he talks about all the things that he'd done, all the pleasures, all the accomplishments, he says, this is the final conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all. The wisest man on earth, God gave him that wisdom. He didn't just come up with it himself. God gave it to him. So this was good wisdom. And this, he says, this is the conclusion of all things. Fear God and be obedient. Wow. You mean that all of this life, God intends for us to boil it down to that? We'll see. Would the author of the Bible want us to believe that God used scare tactics to manipulate us? Not at all. That's not the kind of God that we serve. There's no way. Then this fearing God must have a meaning different from our modern understanding. For sure. First, we know that healthy fear can be good for us. You do some of that every day. Every time you get into your car, what do you do? Click. Why do you do that? You buckle our seatbelts because we fear what may happen to our bodies if we're involved in an accident. That's a healthy fear. We lock our doors when we leave our houses. How many of you did that? Yeah, I know, especially those city guys. They lock everything. You lock your cars. You even lock your phone. Some of you don't trust that phone being alone too long. Of course, it never is because you always have it with you. But you lock it just in case. Why do you do that? There's a fear that somebody may misuse it and cause them. So you take precautions. It's a healthy fear, right? Well, sometimes it becomes kind of unhealthy, but we won't go there today. Why do we do this? Because we can perceive the potential for negative outcomes. So we are preventive rather than remedial. Similarly, God wants to instill a sense of healthy fear in our hearts to keep us from making poor decisions against His will. Now, you have to keep in mind that purpose. What is God after? He doesn't want us to go astray. Why? Because when we go astray, we hurt, we suffer, we go through bad things, and He doesn't want, He loves us too much. And because we believe that His commandments are for our good, then our submission and gratitude compels us to hear His voice. Our response is not something that comes out of a damaged or unhealthy relationship between us and God. We're not scared of God. We fear God. For example, in Psalm 25, verse 14, the psalmist says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him." And he adds, "And He will show them His covenant." You know what a covenant is? The closest thing that we understand with that is a contract, an agreement. Two parties come together and they agree on something, and they write it down, they sign their name, and that is a bond. God is not a man that He will lie. When He makes covenant with man, He doesn't break it ever. He stays by it, though we may break our part of the covenant. So He says, those who fear the Lord with the right fear that we're talking about, He will show them His covenant. And you know what His covenant is all about? It's all great and good for us. Psalm 25:12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. You know, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. That's what the scripture says. He's going to teach us the way that He wants us to go, because His ways are perfect. You know, we want to always have control over our lives, and we think we know it all, and we end up, "Help, help," you know, more often than not. We follow God. He promised, see, He, part of His covenant is, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundant." That's part of His contract with us. And when we say yes, if we follow him, we are really going to experience the true abundant life. But sometimes we say, no, I like my way better. Go on. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Boy, do we need mercy. You know why? Because we're always messing up. And we don't want judgment. We want mercy. And he says, hey, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to, in other words, forever to those who fear him. And then his righteousness to children's children. So we have the fear of the Lord. We walk in it. And even our children and our children's children will learn to walk in that same anointing and blessing. That's something to look after. The right fear of God is a blessing that is given to us in the new covenant. You know, there was the old covenant, and then Jesus came. He says, I have a better promise than what was given in the Old Testament. It's not that it was done away with. He said, there's something better. This is still work. But this is better. I used to like my Volkswagen, but it didn't have AC. It would take me places. But now I got mercy. Still got troubles, but it's better because it's got AC. Nothing perfect made my man. Only God does those kind of things. So the Lord made promised through a prophetic word that he gave through the prophet Jeremiah. And he says this in Jeremiah 32, verse 38, starting there, he says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. Interesting. For the good of them. Ha! Huh. You see that connection there? That they may fear me for their good. And their children after them. Again, the promise of descendants enjoying that. He continues, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good. Ha! The God of heaven who never changes his covenant, only improves it, says, I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. Not only he makes a covenant, he tells us what the fear of the Lord is all about so that we can enjoy its benefits, so that they will not depart from me. Now you know that God will not put up with sin, and yet he wants us to be with him forever. So he gives us a way to do away with that kind of stuff so that we can have fellowship with him at all times. He continues on. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. This is a loving God. He's not telling us to be afraid of him. He's telling us to fear him, and there is a difference. He continues that prophetic word in Jeremiah 33, the next chapter, verse 8, he says, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. He's saying, they will see how much I bless them, and they will have the fear of the Lord. So this is not something negative. This is actually something positive. That God is saying, hey, you learn the fear of the Lord, you will receive so much blessing, you will continue to expand on the fear of the Lord. So this right fear of the Lord is very explicitly a blessing of the new covenant. We'll get a new heart. Ah, this is the new covenant talk. And I will have a covenant with you. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can be close to God. This is exactly what God wanted from the beginning. Does this involve an element of fear? An emphatic yes. At the same time, we can say this fear is a good fear. Because God is good and because He loves us, we can trust Him. We can revere Him. We can honor Him. We can fear Him. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus in the book of Isaiah in his prophetic word. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, you know, this prophetic word regarding Jesus that was not there yet but was to come. He says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse, the father of, grandfather of David. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So this was talking about David, but he was referring to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He's talking about Jesus here. And verse 3 starts saying, His delight, Jesus' delight, is in the fear of the Lord. So even Jesus walked in this fear. And you know what? He was God's best. And He was a faithful son. And He got exalted to the highest place in the universe. A name above every name. Because He walked in the fear of the Lord. Oh, thank you. Again, we go to Psalm 130, verse 4. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. How many of us have experienced forgiveness from the Lord? I fear Him. It tells us that forgiveness is a fertile soil of growing a bright fear of God in our hearts. You are withholding forgiveness, you're not growing in the fear of the Lord. Without forgiveness, we could never approach God. In fact, without forgiveness, we probably don't even want to approach God. Without the cross of Jesus, God would only be a dreadful judge of whom we would be constantly afraid. It is His divine forgiveness by faith that turns our dread of God as sinners into the fearful, trembling adoration of His beloved children. Many of you know this guy. His name is Jim Baker. You have heard of the PTO Club, right? He was, you know, very dynamic Christian some time ago. Probably before your time, many of your times. And so he started right, doing the Lord's work, loving God, doing things, ministry. He prospered. He developed a $125 million enterprise. And then he fell into sin. Not only did he commit adultery, all kinds of ugly sin. He embezzled a lot of money. He went to jail. Almost 5 years. It was supposed to be 12 or 20 or something like that, but then they adjusted it to 5. And while he was in jail, at the latter part of his jail time, another Christian minister, friend of his, visited him. And, you know, they sat together, and the visiting brother said, "Hey, how are you doing, you know? And is this miserable?" And he said, "This is the best thing that has happened to me." And he said, "Well, what?" He said, "Yeah, I have met God here once again. And the brother who knew him asked him, what happened? You know, how did you stop loving God? You know, he said, no, I never stopped loving God. I just lost the fear of God. I thought that was a a good line for us to remember. We can love God. We can be his children. We can carry his last name with us, call ourselves Christian, and lost the fear of God, and do our own thing, and fall into sin. We can all get there. And this is why God is so emphatic about you. We have to get this fear of the Lord. You know, it comes when you realize that you are lost without him. That we are forever prone to mess up and go against the principles that God has established for our own good. And we want to run away from them. And so, you're getting a message from heaven. Here's some encouraging promises about the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 14, verse 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Wow. And his children would have a place of refuge. Again, you see the generational blessing? If you choose to walk, not only will you be blessed, your generation after you will be as well. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Boy, do we not understand this fear at all. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. This is what God is after. He doesn't want us suffering and going through hard time. That's why he say, fear me in the way that I intended that fear to manifest. The angel of Psalm 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Boy, don't you love that promise. Angels are agents that God sends to take care of those who are heirs of salvation. If you have received Jesus into your heart, you are an heir of salvation and God sends angels. And you know what they respond to? You fear God. They will come to your rescue. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. And we're not having the right fear. We're scared of him. We're scared of his judgment. We're not fearing God right. Through the fear of the Lord, we become obedient children. In mercy and truth, Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. See, this God knows how we respond. And he says, when you truly have the fear of the Lord, you will not want to go into sin. No matter what that is, how it looks, how appealing it may be, you know what is right, and you fear the Lord, you love him, you care for him, you revere God, you worship, you're intimate with God, you are his child, and you know that whatever comes from God is going to be good, and therefore that gives you strength to stay away from iniquity. Do I fear the Lord? I think that quotes Psalm 34, 11 to 14. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, it boils down to the fear of the Lord, when we become obedient out of love. not out of fear. When we know that God wants my good and not for me to go through hard times, then I understand. And then I pay attention to his commission, to his commandments. And then we know that we're going to reap everything good out of being obedient. That's the bottom line of the fear of the Lord. So I won't keep you anymore. Now that I wait for the rain to come, now I can let you go. Father, I just thank you for giving us instructions, Father, to understand what you're telling us. Lord, many times we go through reading and we don't understand, and yet you are patient with us and you teach us and you instruct us because you want us to enjoy life to the fullness. We thank you that you are patient, that you're loving, and that you always mean for us to have all good things. I thank you for your faithfulness. I pray, Father, you bless us with the understanding of what it is to fear you truly, the way you meant it. And I pray you keep expanding on that, Father, that we may love you with a pure heart, with a desire to please you, to honor you, and then be able to receive all the goodness of being in fellowship with you forever and ever. I bless you, people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, we're going to be here for a little while.